I'll just read these next verses, and some may have more or less. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet, this is a wonderful thing, the Lord Jesus abides faithful. He is faithful. He cannot. Isn't that a lovely phrase there? He cannot deny himself. And what was Timothy to be doing? The same thing we're to be doing. Reminding one another of these things. Challenging. Our brother yesterday gave us a good word on that. On challenging one another. When we see things that other believers that are doing that we know is going to, in the end, take them down. Do we just sit there? We just say, well, I hope it doesn't work out bad for him. That's a sad thing when we do that. We haven't been faithful. Put them in remembrance of these things. Charging them. These are strong. These are action words, aren't they? Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
I have a question. It says, in verse 13 or verse 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. And I read a couple commentaries and they were saying opposite things. So this is where my question comes from. My question is he denying us? He's not denying. This is talking about the believers, right? So he's not denying us eternal life, but he's denying us a reward such as a crown. Or this is where I was confused. So if anybody would have anything on that.
Well, if you, there's a little bit of an obvious answer to this. If you look right below that, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If it's a believer, even if we deny him, we are still his. He cannot deny himself. Therefore, he cannot deny us eternal life, but he can deny us the reward of a crown.
I wonder if there's not another part also to this that we can add to that. The apostle here is encouraging Timothy in a life of faithfulness, addressing faithful men and all these examples and analogies that we've had before us. And we come here and we have a question. It's often that we find in the life of a believer, we know we're saved, and there's nothing that can change that. But then we go off on a life that is still self-centered. And it's a path that I choose for myself. And we ask, and I don't say these are the right questions, but we keep asking ourselves, and everyone else, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? He does this. He does that. Why can't I do this? And all those types of questions, which are in principle the wrong questions in the first place. And then we come to a point in our lives, and as Christians, still having a conscience towards God, we look to seek for direction. But we haven't been in the Word. We don't have that outline of sound words established and foundation in my heart and in my life, because it's evident in what I'm living out. My associations in the world, my deportment, how I'm presenting myself, all of these different characteristics. And then one day we say, well, I wonder what the Lord wants me to do here. What's the Lord's will for me? And we don't get an answer. And we wonder. And we just keep wondering, and that's where we stop. How come we don't get an answer? You know why we don't get an answer? It's because there's no relationship in the sense of communion. There isn't that which has been established by me doing all these things that we've been looking at these last few days. And then we come to this verse, if we deny Him, He will also deny us. How can He give us direction and help in our lives if we haven't maintained fellowship and communion with Him on a regular basis? And we just go to Him all of a sudden one day because, you know what, I need an answer for something. My salvation has become for me a life insurance policy and nothing more. And that's what I think is part of the answer to where this verse is leading us, because Christ hasn't been the object of my heart.
I'd like also to connect it, John, with verses that we had yesterday. Them that honor me,
right,
I will honor. He will do that. But what if my life is not? There's a verse that a sister and I were talking about earlier in the week. You know it, I'm sure, when the bride was sought for Rebecca. I being, B-E-I-N-G, not just once in a while, but that is my abiding place. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, what are some of the difficulties that could come here? Just to look at our own chapter. A man is striving for masteries, but there's no crown. There's no crown because we said yesterday, he hasn't run according to the rules. You see, I don't make the rules. Here's the rules. Emil, we were reminded yesterday, they are not optional. I don't pick and choose and say, you know, I like this one. I'm really going to go up with this. And this other one, it kind of hinders my lifestyle. I think I'll leave this out. No, we don't have those options. So instead of winning a crown, there is loss. What about the laborer? The guy that says, well, I'm just going to plant the corn and the beans and whatever, and I'm not going to worry too much about the weeds. Well, I'll tell you, in a couple of weeks, he'll be disappointed. He won't have a yield. He won't have a harvest. And we in our lives will find, as John said, yes, I'm saved, but I have a great difficulty seeing where the Lord has come in and blessed me, especially when I look at some others. And I see how the Lord has guided them and directed and provided for them. So I think we're on at least the right lines here to think of it along this way. He abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. And then the reminder, put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Remind them again. Do you know what the one characteristic of truth that it has? It bears repetition. I can have the truth over and over and over, and it doesn't get old. It's not something that gets stale. What I find is that I see another aspect of it. When I read it again, that I missed it the last time. How did I miss something so obvious? God's truth always bears repetition.